How many of you are ready for the word of the Lord?
Yes.
I believe the Lord has a message, as I believe He always does for His church. And it's always timely. It's what we need to hear at the moment and the place that we're at. Amen? So hallelujah, would you stand with me? Let's give the Lord a big shout of praise.
Yes.
For His love and for His mercy. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, let's give Him a hand clap of praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 6. I want to read a few verses out of there as some New Testament bread. And then turn with me also to Hebrews chapter 12, New Testament bread. I'm going to be pulling verses from both of those places. Now, I've preached on something like this similar before, church, but how many of you know that the Word of God is inexhaustible? Amen? Hallelujah. You can't say, Pastor, you preached on that before. Let me tell you, I may have, but God's Word is inexhaustible. It is divine. It is, you cannot get to the end of it. Amen? If all the books were to be written about Jesus Christ, the world could not even contain the books. Hallelujah. That's how infinite and divine the Lord is. Amen. I want to preach to you for a little while this morning, Lord willing, on the message that He gave for you, and it's His voice will shake the earth. And I find that interesting from what the Lord has already said to us this morning from tongues and interpretation of tongues. How many of you are grateful for the moving of the presence of God in our service? Amen. We need more of that. Amen. We don't ever want to let that go. We don't ever want to diminish that. We want to let that have its place in our life and in our service. Are you with me? Exodus chapter 6. Then the Lord said unto Moses. Now I want to make sure you catch these things. The Lord is going to say something to Moses. And then it's going to tell us in verse 2 that the Lord will begin to speak to Moses. And there is a difference between what God said from what God is saying. Are you hearing me? All right, so let's read this again. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he shall drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Church, sometimes we need to be reminded that He is still the Lord. Amen? And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Ooh, somebody say hallelujah. All right, turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Amen. How many of you know you serve a God that changeth not? That the Jehovah of the Old Testament, praise God, is Jesus Christ the Son revealed in the New Testament. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Hallelujah. How many of you know your names are written in heaven? And to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more shake I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Do y'all realize what you got a hold of this morning? We receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Amen. Pray with me this morning. Heavenly Fathers, we come before You today. Lord, we're so grateful and thankful that You move in our midst, Lord. We're so grateful and thankful that You speak unto Your people. Thank You, Lord, that Your promises in You are yea and amen. And Lord, as You told us in Your Word, Lord, that with stammering lips and another tongue, You would speak with Your people. Oh Lord, You keep Your Word. And Lord, You keep us and You remind us. And Lord, You visit with us. And Lord, You share with us, Lord, even things that You're going to be doing in the earth. I pray, God, that You would open our eyes that we may see. I pray that You would open our hearts to receive the seeds of eternal truth from Your Word. Oh God, may we receive with meekness the engrafted Word, for it is able to save our soul. Help us, oh God, to hear Your voice. Speak unto us, oh Lord, with Your eternal voice of power and might. Oh God, I pray that the sword of Your mouth will cut away the darkness in our lives and bring more of Your everlasting light into every corner of our heart. Oh Lord, let us have light and not darkness. And Lord, we give You the praise and the glory for all that You do. And in the name of Jesus, we pray, and everyone shouted amen. Amen. Come on, shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, you may be seated. I want to preach to you for a little while this morning, church, about the voice of God that will shake your earth. Hallelujah. And listen, if you don't think that the voice of God still shakes the earth, listen to me. We need to remember that the voice of God will and has, and it still does, shake the earth. We see Jesus hanging on the cross in the book of Matthew. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ, with a loud voice, cried out with a loud voice, and then He gave up the ghost. And listen, do you recognize what happened next? The Bible then says that the earth quaked and the rocks were rent in two. Hallelujah. Don't you know there was a massive earthquake at the moment that Jesus gave up the ghost? Oh, but before He gave up the ghost, the eternal Word of God spoke out and said, "It is finished." And when God speaks again and says, "My plan has been complete and it is now finished and the door of grace is closed," do you not know that there will be such an earthquake again on the earth that the Bible says every island would be moved out of its place and the mountains would melt away? Hallelujah. And the valleys would be lifted up. Oh, church, there's going to be still the quaking of the earth that God is going to do. Amen. I read to you from the book of Genesis. Oh, it's about God beginning to speak to Moses. But before He spoke with Moses, He said unto Moses, He began to remind Moses of the covenant that He had already made. He began to remind Moses of the promises that He had already given. He began to remind Moses that He was the Lord God Almighty, the one who never fails, the one with the only thing that is impossible for Him to do. It is impossible for God to lie. And if God said He was going to do something, church, you can rest assured He's going to do it. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how smart you may think you are. It doesn't matter how many theologians may come together and have a little meeting and say they think they know what God is going to do. If it's contrary to what the Word of God says, I'm here to tell you, let God be true and let every man be a liar. God will perform His Word. God will complete
what he said he would do. And church, I want to remind you, just like the book of Exodus comes after the book of Genesis. Genesis is the beginning of life and creation. And then there must be an Exodus. And so what is true in the natural must also be revealed in the spiritual. And church, in your life, when God, oh hallelujah, through the blood of Jesus Christ, made you a new creature in Christ Jesus, a new creation. I'm here to remind you, church, that after every Genesis that Jesus brings forth in the life of a new believer, then there must also be an Exodus. You must pick up from where you are in the land of Egypt, and you must begin to walk onward into the place of promise that God is showing you to go. Oh, for there is a way, and there is the truth, and there is the life, and it is found in Christ Jesus. Yes. Yes. Somebody say hallelujah. Woo, the book of Exodus comes after Genesis naturally and spiritually. It's the story of the children of promise being taken from their place of servitude and bondage and being led into the married land or Beulah land. And church, I've told you this before, you're going to have to get married to Jesus Christ here and now. If you can't get married to Jesus and with His purpose of will and with His master plan for your life, if you can't get married to Him now and here, then don't expect to be in the bride over there someday. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, listen, church, the first journey of the children of promise, it was likened to the church's children of promise, those who are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. As we make our journey from this world of trouble, of trials and afflictions, into a blessed existence that someday we will have in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, where He promises that someday when He takes us to be with Him, He said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, what a promise that we have today, church. We too are a children of promise. Hallelujah. We too have to step out in an exodus away from the things of our past and onward and upward in Jesus into the things which lie before. Why do you think Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press for the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? I don't want to stay where I am today. How about you? Hallelujah. I don't want to stay in this old wretched world forever. How about you? I don't want to get so attached to the things of this world that when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise first, oh, that I'm going to look back at something on this old sin-sick, wretched world. Oh, but I want to have my heart sold out to Jesus. I want to be walking in the way, the truth, and the life. So that when the trumpet sounds, I'll leave the ground. Hallelujah. Like the old song says, hallelujah, the children of every nation are going to lose their gravitation. Hallelujah. But you better be ready. As Brother Farron was saying, you better have that oil in your lamp. You better be walking daily by the Savior's side. You better keep your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. You better keep your heart right with God and not be double-minded. Are you hearing me, church? Praise God. As we're making our journey, we're going to find the same troubles in our journey from now and here on until we get to the promised land. We're going to find the same troubles. We're going to find the same trials. We're going to find the same struggles and the battles that the Israelites found as they were trying to get to that promised land. Church, the enemies of the land are going to come after you. Oh, but praise God. If you're walking with Jesus, you're going to have the pillar of fire by night. Hallelujah. To light the way in the way of darkness. Hallelujah. You're going to have a light unto my feet. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You're going to be able to see even in a dark place. You're going to be able to know the next step God has planned for you. Even in the darkness of this sin-sick world, church, you got a promise that He'll go before you. You got a promise that the rock cross Jesus is going to follow you all the way. Woo! Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory. Praise God. We've got a promise, church. That ought to make us excited. Hallelujah. Oh, the same troubles they encountered, you will encounter in your Christian walk with the Lord. Oh, but you got a promise. If you're walking with Him, He's walking with you. Hallelujah. If you're holding to His hand, He's holding to yours. If you're drawing nigh to God, He's drawing nigh to you. Hallelujah. If you're seeking after Him, you will find Him. Hallelujah. Oh, listen to me, church. Oh, but if you're not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, I want to remind you, it's not a Christian walk. If Jesus isn't in your walk, then you're not walking a Christian walk. Amen. John 12:26, and I've already mentioned this one to you, church. He said, if any man will serve me, he said, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Are you hearing me, church? Where Jesus is where you're going to want to be if you're His servant. If He's at the Calvary's cross, that's where you're going to desire to be with Him. He said, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And He said to them all, if any man will come after me. How many wants to go after Jesus right now? How many of you want to walk after Jesus? Wherever He's going, I want to go there too. Oh, listen. Oh, yeah, He's going to heaven to prepare a place. I want to go there to be with Him. Before you get there, you're going to have to take a detour. You've got to go by the way of Calvary. You've got to go by the way of the cross. You've got to go by the way of crucifying your flesh. Somebody say hallelujah. And He said to them all, hallelujah. How many of you know none of us is exempt? We want to make it to heaven, we got to go the way of the cross. We want to make it to heaven, we got to go the way of the blood. We want to make it to heaven, we got to go by the way of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Hallelujah. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Hallelujah. I hear in way too many Christians' testimonies, I deserve this and I deserve that. And we believe the lie of the devil who says to you, well, you deserve to have this and you deserve to have that. Well, let me tell you something, honey. You want to know what you deserve? You deserve death, hell, and destruction. You were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. You're not worthy of heaven. You're not worthy of an eternal life. But Jesus, by His blood, by faith, through grace, you're saved. And that not of works. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Woo! Hallelujah. You're saved by that faith through grace. Oh, but Jesus, with His blood, made you worthy. Hallelujah. Now you're heaven bound. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Are you grateful, church? He didn't give us what we deserved. Hallelujah. Oh, don't let it ever be coming out of your mouth what you think you deserve. I'll tell you what you deserve. You deserve death, hell, and destruction. But Jesus, hallelujah, but Jesus took your place and He paid your price. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let Him deny Himself. Church, you realize when you come to Jesus, you have to begin denying yourself and you have to begin allowing Him. Amen? You got to begin denying yourself and begin allowing Him. Amen. That means when you say, I want, you say, no, it don't matter what I want. Lord, what do You want? I'll allow You to be the decider and the decision maker in my life. Amen? And not just denying yourself, but then take up His cross daily. Hallelujah. How many of you have been carrying the cross ever since we met last? Amen. You better have been. Oh, I don't carry the cross, but Pastor, until I come to church, you're doing wrong. You got to carry your cross daily. You got to deny yourself daily. And you have to follow Him daily. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you grateful, though, we have a Savior daily? Daily, if we're walking with Him, if we're talking to Him, and we have a need. Praise the Lord, Chloe. We have a need. We call out in the name Jesus. And before we can even get the words out, He's already provided a cushion for a baby's head. Amen. Hallelujah. Might still be some bruises. Oh, but what was averted, you'll never know until the end. When you get to the other side, then you'll know. Praise God. Aren't you grateful for what Jesus does in our life every day? Amen. If you're following Jesus, church, He's going to be taking you to places of Calvary where you learn more about crucifying your flesh. And now listen, you might be saying, Pastor, what's that got to do with God speaking to Moses and God saying something to Moses? I'm getting there. I just want to make sure that you understand anything we do for Christ is going to have to be prefaced by going the way of the cross. Anything that we do to establish anything in eternity, we've got to go by the way that Jesus has laid out. We've got to go the way of the cross. We've got to go the way of Jesus Christ. And we've got to go the path of His blood. Are you hearing me, church? For He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's only found in Christ Jesus. Amen. So how are we going to get it right? Church, we want to start by getting our mind right. How do we get our mind right? The Bible says that we can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. It starts off by saying, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now listen to me. I'm going to tell you something you may not want to hear. How is it that you know that your mind has been transformed? Is because you stopped trying to conform to the world. If you're still trying to conform to the world, then your mind has not been transformed, and there's only one transforming power. It's in the blood of Jesus and in the Holy Ghost. Yes. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, listen, it starts with your mind being transformed. That word in the Greek, transform, means metamorphosis. Hallelujah. How many of you ever seen a tadpole down in a little pond? A little tadpole doesn't stay a tadpole now, does he? But in time, he swims up out of that water and he transforms into a frog. Have you ever seen a little caterpillar climbing on a leaf? That caterpillar doesn't stay a caterpillar, but he gets into a cocoon, and before you know it, he transforms himself into a butterfly. And church, our mind has got to be transformed. We can't be flopping around like a tadpole. Our mind has to be transformed. Hallelujah, in order to become the frog. We can't always be the little caterpillar worm. We've got to be transformed in our mind so that we can be a butterfly and take to the skies.
Yes, yes.
Praise the Lord. Transform, church, is a metamorphosis. There ought to be some change going on in your life if you say that you're following Jesus. If you say that your mind has been transformed by the power of His blood, then there ought to be some change that becomes visible in your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Can somebody say hallelujah with me? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, listen, church, the enemy of your soul, he does not want to let you make the trip. He'll try to get you to take shortcuts. Amen. He'll try to show you an easy ramp. Amen. As the road gets bumpy, how many of you know that there will be a really smooth exit ramp just right up the road? Amen. And you'll be tempted to take that smooth exit road and get off that bumpy road. You think you're not going to survive going down that bumpy road of life that you're on. But I'm here to remind you that Jesus is with you. Amen. Jesus has given you promises. Jesus has promised in His Word. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No, no, not to the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. He has said, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. Amen. He said, if you'll cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, oh, if you'll turn from your wicked ways, if you'll repent, oh, hallelujah, if you'll turn from your own ways and begin to humble yourself and pray. He said, then he would heal you. Then he would heal your land. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, church, the final judgment. Oh, the final judgment in the day of Egypt. In the day of Israel as they were leaving Egypt. The final judgment that came upon the land was the judgment of death. And only that blood on the doorpost, hallelujah, of the children of promise would protect them from death. And church, how many of you realize that the judgments of God are beginning to fall upon this earth? How many of you realize that the judgments of God are only just beginning, that the days of sorrow are upon us? And I'm here to remind you, church, as the Lord has told us earlier today, that a great shaking is coming upon the land. For with every famine there comes an earthquake, and with every earthquake there comes a pestilence, and with every pestilence and famine and earthquake there comes a war and a rumor of war. I'm reminding you, church, that God isn't through yet. Oh, and listen, I'm not going to give any place to the devil. I'm going to flee from the very appearance of evil. Oh, and listen to me, church. It is time that we recognize that God is the one who says what will happen and what will not happen. He is the one on the throne. Stop giving credence to the devil. The devil doesn't do anything without permission by God. Unless God says you can do it, the devil's hands are tied. And God will use the devil to bring about his master plan. Are you hearing me, church?
Yes.
The judgments of God are beginning to fall, and we've only experienced the first contraction of the woman in labor. And there are more contractions to follow, and they will become more and greater in frequency until the catching away of the bride of Christ and those who've made themselves ready. Are you hearing me, church? Oh, the Lord has been telling us in so many different ways that this disease that has gone around the world, I don't care who manufactured it. I don't care who may have put it out there. I don't care if it's all a hoax. I'm here to remind you, God's still on the throne, and God is still in charge of what happens in His world. But He's not done, church. We're going to be facing earthquakes such as the like this world and this country has never seen. It's going to split the earth around wide open. Are you hearing me, church? And then when America is at her weakest, enemies will come upon her from all around, and we will be overwhelmed because we have forgotten God and walked away from the only sacrifice for sin, Jesus. And because we have slain our innocent ones, their blood cries out to God from the ground. Somebody give God the glory. Woo, hallelujah. But if we're like those children of Israel, and we have the precious blood of Jesus covering the doorposts of our soul, our spirit, and our body, it'll keep us from the judgment of death. Are you hearing me, church? And the Lord said, now I'm getting to this part you need to hear. And the Lord said, the Lord, the Yod-Heh, Vod-Heh, where we get the word Jehovah from, the Lord Jehovah said, the self-existent one said, He said, Omar in the Hebrew is to say or to speak, to command, to promise. He said, I'm giving you my promise of what I am going to do. How many of you remember we sing a song, every promise in the book is mine? Church, I don't know that we ought to sing that song, because every promise that's in the book, some of them you don't want. God promised that if you would walk after Him, He promised that if you'd be covered in the blood of His only begotten Son, the only payment and the propitiation for sin, if you'll be covered in that blood, then you will. When the judgments of God come over,
it will pass over you, and you will be safe from the storm, and you'll have eternal life in Jesus Christ the Son. Oh, but he also promised that those who would reject the Word of God and those who reject the blood of Jesus will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, and the smoke of the torment ascends up forever and ever. And that's a promise of God. God, the self-existent one, Amar, began to speak and began to command. He said to Moses, I'm giving you a promise of what I'm going to do. Whether it is a promise of blessing or it is a promise of punishment and curse, I've given you a promise of what I'm going to do. I'm giving a command that it will happen. And how many of you know that if God said it, it will happen? You can bank on it. As sure as the sun's coming up tomorrow morning, you know that God will keep His word. He commanded it would happen. He spoke it and it came into being. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now for all you word of faithers out there, I got to tell you something. You need to sit back a little bit and humble yourself. You think you've got the power of God that you speak things into existence. I've got news for you. Only God has the power to speak something into existence. There's no man who can speak anything into existence. Are you hearing me? Whether it be good or bad. Oh, somebody said out of the Old Testament book of Proverbs, it says, well, don't you remember, preacher, the Word of God says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. Yeah, I want to remind you, you're going to have to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord if you want life. And you can deny Him and reject Him with your tongue and you will find death. Are you hearing me, church? You can't speak anything into existence. Not any more than I could call my little old Ford a Cadillac until somehow it turns into one. Listen, I'll be blue in the face, and it'll be a long years before that ever happens. Can somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Like old preacher told me one time, he said, coming to church, every time you get a chance to come, doesn't make you a Christian any more than me parking my Ford in your garage turns it into a Cadillac. Woo! Somebody say praise the Lord. Boy, that'd be a magic garage, wouldn't it? Everybody would be trying to get their cars over there. Amen. Unless you already got a Cadillac. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you know that God has power in His spoken word? God has power in His spoken word. You have no power in your spoken word other than to confess Jesus and begin to walk after Him. And then you'll find life that He gives, not you. Or you can reject Him, continue to live life the way you want to live it. You can reject Him and deny Him, and someday you will find death coming to you. Ooh, spiritual death, which is far more important than natural death. Are you hearing me, church? Hallelujah. God starts with nothing. Amen. And He creates something out of nothing. Woo! Can somebody say hallelujah? How many of you here feel like sometimes you're a nobody? Hallelujah. Come on, you can be honest. How many of you sometimes feel like I'm a nobody? Lord, who am I? Oh, and trust me, as you get older, I'm beginning to discover. As you get older, you begin to feel more and more irrelevant. Amen. Oh, Lord. When I was younger, my kids would come to me and say, Dad, 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 some of them, Daddy, what can I do? What should I do? How should I do this? And I felt like I was needed and a little bit important. Amen. And so, as I got older, they got married and moved off, and that's great. That's what I trained them to do. But oh, there's times I wonder, and I miss those times when they say, oh, Daddy, what do you think about this? Dad, what would you do if it was you? Oh, hallelujah. I told my wife the other day, I said, honey, sometimes I feel a little bit irrelevant. Oh, but praise God for those moments when we feel like we're nothing. Because when we feel like we're nothing, do you know that God takes nothing and He begins to make something? Hallelujah. He speaks into existence with the power of His Word. And He starts with nothing. But when He finishes speaking, oh, He's got something. Woo, church, so I want to remind you like I had to remind myself. When you feel like you're getting to be nothing, oh, that ought to get you excited, because God takes nothing and He makes something.
Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's right.
Whew. Through faith. Oh, wait a minute. It works, brother. No, it's faith. You better be doing works of faith, but not works, hallelujah, of the flesh. God has no interest in your works of the flesh. Are you hearing me? But your works of flesh, your works of faith, He's very interested in. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. In other words, church, hallelujah, He said, bang, and it happened. Amen. Scientists say there was a big bang. I believe it. God said it and bang, it happened.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, let there be a world. Bang, and there was the world. He said, let it have a moon. Bang, and there was a moon. Let there be a sun. Bang, and there was a sun. Hallelujah. And if He wanted to, He could say, let there be another universe. Bang, there'd be another universe. How many of you believe that this morning?
Amen.
Then let me ask you, why is this so hard for you to believe that God could speak into your life and bang, it will happen? Oh, because I'm nothing. Praise God. That's where you want to be. Because when you feel like you're nothing, God can do something. Because when you think you're something, God won't do nothing. Hallelujah. Boy, let that be a brain teaser for a while. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. The worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God simply said, I'm going to say it, and my words shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. What I have decreed to be will be. What I have said will happen, will happen. And so God began to He said to Moses, I'm going to remind you of all the promises that I made. I'm going to remind you of the covenant that I made with your father. Hallelujah. I'm going to remind you of the covenant that I made with all of your fathers. And they knew me by God Almighty, but they did not know me by my personal name. Amen. You see, because God has already spoken into your life and my life. Are you hearing me, church? He's already given us the plan that we need for our life. And if we'll find ourselves walking in the way, the truth, and the life, then we are obeying what God has already said. Your life and to give you a personal relationship like you've never had before and to share another portion of His name with you.
Amen. But if you're not obeying what He's already said, don't expect Him to share another level of revelation with you. Are you hearing me, church? Oh, I get so twisted inside and out when I hear people say, well, I heard from the Lord. And as they begin to say what they heard from the Lord, it is contrary to what God has already said.
And I look them square in the eye and say, you didn't hear that from the Lord. You better try the spirits, whether they be of God. Did you know there's a Holy Ghost and there's a whole lot of other spirits out there? And sometimes people are hearing from other spirits other than through God, through the Holy Ghost. You need to get tapped in to the true vine and obey the Word of God. Because if you can obey what He's already said, then He knows that if you're faithful in the little things, He can make you ruler over much. Oh, I want God to do a new thing with me. He already did. It's called the New Testament. He's already laid out the plan. Hallelujah. He's not going to deviate from His Word. Do you realize that if He did, that the worlds that He spoke into existence would vaporize? Because His Word is forever settled in heaven. And if He does not keep His Word, nothing else that He has done by His Word can continue to exist, including you. You want God to be the one who cannot lie. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Oh, but He says this to Moses. Now I'm going to dabar. Now I'm going to speak with you, Moses. Now I'm going to dabar. It's a Hebrew word which means I'm going to commune. with you. Oh, shut in with God in a secret place. There in the Spirit beholding His face. And finding more power to run in this race. How I long to be shut in with God. Why? Because there He communes with me. There, as I obey His word that He's already said, then He begins to speak and commune with me and to give me another level, another layer, another height, another depth, another length, another breadth of the beautiful name and the eternal power of the precious Son of God. Oh, how many of you want more of that today? How many of you want more of that today? Oh, can you lift your hands and just thank Him for what He's already revealed to you? Oh, and realize, church, that if we'll just obey Him, if we'll just follow after Him, He's got more for us. He's not going to stop giving if we will not stop obeying. Amen. He said, if you do what I said, if you do what I said. Are you hearing me, church? Are you really hearing me, church? He said, if you do what I said, and if He's different, you think He's going to be different with you than He was with Moses? Come on, church. You think He's going to be different with you than He was with Moses? Did Moses get to go into the promised land? No. Why? Moses? You mean Moses, the guy who received from God the Ten Commandments? Yes, that guy. He didn't make it to the promised land. Why? Because he disobeyed God. And you think you're going to make it to the promised land by disobeying God? Church, I'm asking you some serious questions here. If you will do what God said, then God will begin to commune with you and begin to speak with you and to give you another layer, another level, of revelation, which that revelation will give you the strength and the power to be an overcomer in the times that are coming. Are you hearing me, church? I'm going to put it in another way. If you can't run with the footman, how are you going to do in the days when the horses can't get out to battle? If you can't keep up with the footman, how are you going to keep up with the horses? The Word gives us that picture. Church, we've got to be moving onward and upward in Christ Jesus. The time that we have left in this world is rapidly drawing to a close. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. It is those places that He's taken you to the cross of Calvary and shown you how to crucify your flesh to be more like Him. That's what you're taking into eternity with you. You're not taking your 401k. You're not taking your new house. You're not taking your car. You're not taking your big fat checking account. Praise God. I don't think I'm talking to anybody who has any of those things, but praise the Lord. Hallelujah, are you glad you got Jesus who is eternal? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. He says, if you'll obey me, if you'll do what I've already said. Church, do you realize that we're at such a dangerous place in the world today? There's so many people that want to pop out and say, listen, preacher, don't you believe God's got a great revival? He's got a great revival plan? Church, you go through the Scriptures and you show me where Jesus said there was a great revival in the end times. He said, for the love of many shall wax cold. He said, that there would be a great falling away. Preacher, you're trying to take the wind out of my sails. You're turning my sunny day into a cloudy one. I'm not trying to. I'm trying to give you truth so that you hold on to the faith and truth that was once delivered to the saints. And that you hold on to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. And that you not be swayed, but you contend for that faith. Even when times are tough. Even when loved ones may die. Even when you're facing death, are you willing to stand up for Jesus because He's your only hope? Yes. Church, you need to hear what I'm telling you this morning. You think troubles have been here? Troubles are not here. This is only the beginning of sorrows. The troubles are coming, and such of the like as you've never seen before. And without Jesus, it will cause men's hearts to fail them for fear. But with Jesus, you don't have to have that fear. You can begin to do what you know He's already said. And then as He begins to commune with you, as He begins to speak with you, He reminds you, He says, listen, your fathers knew me. Moses, your fathers knew me. Moses, your fathers knew me. But they didn't know my name. Well, how many of you understand the power of the name of Jesus? Did you know Jesus didn't come to us until that new covenant? Jesus, the name Jesus wasn't given until that new covenant. He said, I will speak with you and I will reveal another portion of my name to you. I appeared to your fathers as El Shaddai. I appeared to your fathers as the nurturer. I appeared to your fathers as the one who provides, the one who supplies and nurtures. But I just don't want to be a nurturer or a supplier. I don't want to be one who has a conversation with you only when your back is against the wall, when you're sick and down and out, when you're full of disease and you've tried all you want to try, and for the last resort you try me.
Some people don't even think about praying until troubles afflict them. Some people won't even come to church until they have a loved one die. Some people won't even make an effort to do anything for God until their back's against the wall, and then they want God to do miracles for them. And He's saying, if you can't do what I've already said, how can I speak another miracle into your life? Are you hearing me, church? I've got loved ones. I do too. They're not where they ought to be. I understand. They're not seeking after the Lord. I know. But I'm just hoping at the last hope and hope and hope. You can hope all you want to and you can pray all you want to. But listen, the action has got to be theirs. The choice has got to be theirs. Are you hearing me, church? And don't place your faith and hope on whether or not your loved ones get saved. You better put your faith and hope in Jesus Christ. If they get saved, praise God, that's an added bonus. But if they don't, I'm going on. I said, if they don't, I'm going on.
Man, that's right.
I said, if they don't, I'm going on with Jesus. I'm going through.
Come on.
Sometimes if we're not careful, we're so caught away with our loved ones being lost that we lose our way. You better fix your eyes on Jesus and on no one else. Amen. It's all going to boil down to their choice. Anyway. Amen. God's not going to hold you accountable for what their choices are. Amen. But He'll hold you accountable for what your choices are. And if you're choosing to baby them and not tell them the truth that they need to hear, that might be the thing that saves their soul. He'll hold you accountable for that. He said, if the watchmen stand on the watchtower and give out the warning, and there are those that hear and refuse to obey, their blood will not be on your hands. Church, I don't want the blood of any of you to be on my hands. I'm going to stand in the tower and I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you what's coming. I'm going to tell you what's around the corner. I'm going to tell you with the eyes of faith that I can see that are happening in the world and in each of our lives, that if we're not careful, we're going to be slain. You didn't get saved so that God could be your little genie in a box and provide everything you want when you just rub on the box.
Right.
You got saved so that He could keep you out of hell, death, and destruction, that you might give glory to His name. And if He chooses to take me with disease, death, or whatever else might come my way, He's the sovereign decider.
That's right.
Amen? You better have the same viewpoint. Because if you have any other viewpoint, then really you're saying you just want Him to be there as your supplier, your nurturer, your provider. Otherwise, leave Him alone. That's not what He wants.
Sounds like the world.
He says, I want to speak into your life, but you've got to do what I said. I'm going to speak into your life, but you better do what I said. Amen? Praise the Lord. Church, do we need another gospel?
No.
Do we need another translation?
No.
Do we need someone else to tell us it in a different way? Because we didn't quite get it the first way and it didn't really exciting enough. We need to turn the lights down low. We need to make it black up there. We need to have smoke going out. We need to have a bunch of young people jumping up and down saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, devils can shout Jesus. They don't mean they're saved.
Dancers waving flags.
You think sometimes you're at a Vegas show and not church. You know, some folks get the idea to get offended that you even told them the truth. There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the Lord shall divide to His left and to His right. Oh, there's a great day coming by and by. Oh, and if you're on His right hand, you'll be blessed of the Father. But if you're on His left hand, He'll tell you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I knew who you are. You called on me when you got sick. You called on me when you were in trouble. You called on me when you needed something. You wanted to hear me speak into your life, but you never wanted to obey me. And because you never wanted to obey me, I couldn't share my name with you. I couldn't get real personal and intimate with you. Oh, church, sometimes we're so backwards. Sometimes the church world is so backwards. I passed a church the other day and I saw a sign that said, "We have open hearts and open minds." To what? To the things of the world? You better open your heart to Jesus, and you better open your mind to the transforming power of the blood and the sanctifying power of the Holy Ghost. Everything else that is trying to open into your mind, you better reject it and not be conformed to this world. Amen. Well, God helps those who help themselves. Yeah, I get that. I understand why that came up, but did you realize that God really helps those who can no longer help themselves? God helps those who finally realize that without Him, they're nothing. Without Him, they have nothing. Without Him, they know nothing. Without Him, they can do nothing! That's who God helps. Because you've reached the place where God will get the glory, and not you. He'll not share His glory with another. Jesus is saying to us today, church, I want to reveal myself to you. I want to be known of you as the self-existent one, the one who has the power to be whatever He wishes to be, and I also have the power to make you into whatever I want you to be. Church, we've got to acknowledge what God has already said. Are you hearing me? We've got to acknowledge what God has already said. Because if we don't, He will cease speaking into our life and cease being that intimate Savior that He so desires to be with us. I'm going to close with this. Sister Dina, come to the piano. John 10:27, Jesus said this. Are you hearing me, church? I want to bow your heads, close your eyes. Listen to me as I finish this. Bow your heads, close your eyes, shut out everything. You need to hear this. My sheep hear my voice. Oh, there He is. He's desiring to speak. But He can't do more than He's already said. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. I want to be intimate with them. I want to be close with them. Because I know if they hear my voice and I get intimate with them, then they will follow me. You see, God says, can I say it another way, church? God says, we obey, He gets intimate, and we follow. John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Why? Because they know Him, and He knows them. The church, the sad part is there's so many who are quoting this verse and claiming to have eternal life, and claiming that once they're saved, they're always saved, and they do not realize they never really known Jesus to begin with. How do you say that, preacher? Because their life shows that they are not obeying what God has already said. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Church, He's promised us that we'll follow the only way to be saved. If we'll go to Calvary in the blood of Jesus, and we'll carry our cross, and we'll deny ourselves,
this precious voice of the Savior will speak. And you and I will hear. You and I will hear. And through the judgments that are coming, church, I'm going to remind you, based on the Word of God, not on my Word, based on the Word of God, judgments of God are falling. And before the rapture of the church, we are going to face seal number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, and number 5. You will face those trials, those testings, and those tribulations. You will face them before the Lord takes His church out of here. And you're going to need to have this personal, deep relationship with Jesus if you don't have it now. How am I going to get there, Pastor? I'm going to start obeying the Word of God that He's already said. Amen. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Heavenly Fathers, we come before You. Lord, humbling ourselves, recognizing, O God, that without You, we are nothing. We have nothing. We know nothing. Lord, help us to be ever aware that there is that great day coming. A great day that is coming, O Lord, where You will separate those who are covered in Your blood. Those who've been walking daily by Your side. Those, O Lord, who You have had a relationship with. O Lord, those who can say, I know Him, for He is mine and I am His. Here, separate them, O God, from those. O Lord, with their lips they've served You, but their heart was far from You. Lord, I pray that You touch every heart today. That You encourage everyone that needs to be encouraged. Lord, that Your Word, which is quick and sharp and powerful, Lord, that it would exhort those that need exhortation. Oh God, that it would, help those, oh Lord, to need see some light, that the light of the Word would shine bright in their life. Oh Lord, revealing those things that are yet unlike You. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.